It's Free Talk Live. We're launching into another live Saturday edition here. You, as always, can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up anything that you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Coming up, if we get a chance, we'll tell you about an Indiana mom who has sued principal and a teacher after her son was forced to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. But coming up, Mark, you're going to be telling us about, and I can't believe we're going to be talking about this, but Kim Kardashian has opinions about gun control, and we're supposed to care about that?
Yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah.
So you're going to share some of that with us here. But first, we're going to go to your calls and thoughts. You can bring up anything that's on your mind. We also have Skype, by the way. You can Skype into the show here at Skype username lrn.fm. It's Ian and Mark in the studio. To the phones, to the fun. Let's talk to Michael. He's calling from Virginia Beach, listening to WNIS. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Hey, hello. And so glad you're on the air. We've got to fix radio in this country. I heard you talking a few weeks ago about the possibility of your being on 400 or 500 stations if people would just get behind you.
Sure.
And I think this Comey hearing gives you that perfect opportunity.
Was this the one where John McCain was like stumbling over himself and super confused?
Well,
that hearing. I saw some video footage from that last night. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, well, listen, here's the deal on this Comey hearing. Most of
Is it still going on, this hearing? I'm not paying close attention to it. Is this like a multi-day thing?
I'm saying the discussion about it is going on. It's been going on for 30 days since he was fired on May 11th.
Okay. Sure has been, yeah.
Yeah. So here's what I'm saying. Most of the lawyers commenting on it are among the stupidest people in the world. I mean, all over television, all over the radio. I've never seen such stupid people. And
why? Why do you say that?
Pardon me?
Why do you say that?
Well, just listen to their logic. You listen to the
logic. Well, I don't watch and listen to these things, so, I mean, you're going to have to explain it.
You're going to have to elucidate.
Okay. Here's the thing. If you listen to them long enough, because they're all trying to wax eloquent and sound like they're constitutional scholars, but what it finally boils down to when they finish their long soliloquies and monologues, what it finally boils down to is this. There is nothing that a president can do wrong that he cannot pardon himself for. There is no amount of money that he cannot steal or receive in bribes, which would be illegal because there's no such thing as a conflict of interest for a president. He is not covered under the emoluments clause that forbids all other government workers from lining their pockets in government. This is what they are all saying. Now, this is why I say they're stupid. Because they are suggesting that the Constitution was in place to prevent the Revolutionary War. People get sick of this. People get sick of this kind of thing. What I'm saying is this. Human nature says there is a limit to what a president can do, but these stupid lawyers can't figure that out. People are not going to stand for this kind of thievery. Now,
you're saying the lawyers are... I'm just trying to understand what you're saying here. You're saying that the attorneys commenting on this Comey hearing are saying that the president can do anything he wants, and you're saying that, no, he can't, because people aren't going to allow that?
That's right. People, if they...
Well, how are they going to stop it?
Well, the reason why is because these boring lawyers will take an hour to make the point that I just made, that the president...
But how is that going to result in people stopping the president from doing whatever he wants? That's what you said, right?
The point is, as long as the lawyers are controlling the conversation, the people are never going to know what's going on. They're not going to know that Donald Trump is lining his pockets with $350 billion from seven different nations that hate the United States, They're not going to know it if that's happening because these stupid.
Now, are you speculating, or do you have? Are you claiming that Donald Trump's actually doing that?
I'm saying that hypothetically, if he were doing that, they're saying he can't be audited. He doesn't have to reveal his tax return, and even if he were caught doing it, he could pardon himself. I mean,
so basically what you're saying is that you don't believe that people could stop Donald Trump from doing whatever it is that he wants to, as long as lawyers are commenting on television. I mean, it seems like a ridiculous thing to say.
I mean, Washington, D.C. is a lawyer industrial complex. There's no doubt about that.
This is why. Because as long as they are controlling the conversation, the people will not know. We have investigated.
Okay. Well, they're not controlling the conversation. They're just attorneys that are, you know, speaking on talking heads shows on television. Most people don't even watch TV.
That TV. They are controlling the media.
The lawyers are controlling media now?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, then how come they're not, you know, sending us a cease and desist order?
How come they're not what?
How come they're not sending us a cease and desist order? I mean, obviously, this show is kind of a threat to the status quo. I mean, we literally have total voluntarists on the air here advocating for the abolishment of the entire state of the United States. I mean, we're on 170 radio stations, so we're not the biggest show in the world, but you're making this blanket claim that lawyers control the media, and it doesn't seem like they control this show.
Well, you actually interrupted me before I could give you the exact percentage. I said six companies control 95% of the information that Americans receive.
Okay. I've heard that claim before. So, what radio companies are in that six companies?
Well, I can't recall right off.
You don't know what the six companies are. You've just heard that there are six companies. Can you name some of them?
I've heard the same thing.
I've heard them listed. Disney, Fox, et cetera. But there's six.
Okay.
So are you saying that
one of those companies or two of those companies controls all of the radio stations or 95% of the radio station? What about radio? How does radio fit into this sort of media spectrum?
Yeah, are we talking about average quarter hour listenership? Are we talking about broadcast power? Are we talking about the number of antennas out there? Because this is I've heard this claim and I don't really understand it.
Well, thank you, because I don't fully understand it either. Yeah. I'm just saying that it keeps appearing in various places without a lot of explanation to it. But yeah. I want you on 400 stations.
Well, so thank you for that, Michael. The best thing to do in that case is to go to amp.freetalklive.com. You can amp the show there, even though I don't think we really agree on a whole lot of stuff. He's called before, and things can get a little heated. But if you like the show and
you can call, though. Yeah. I mean, he's right about that. He's
you
right.
Can call
you
this
can
show.
Call yeah. in and you can get your opinion out and, you know, reach hundreds of thousands of people or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that media, and thank you, Michael, for the call tonight. There's no doubt that media has consolidated over the years. Even though we have more channels now, let's say on television, where, I mean, I haven't had cable TV since I was a kid, but I've encountered it a few times in the last 15 years, and it seems like there's more channels now than there ever have been. So you got more of a selection now, but yet there's still that thing that he was talking about where there, you know, only so many owners of all of these different channels out there. I get that. I understand the concern.
Sure, it would be a lot easier for Free Talk Live if we either A, worked for one of the big companies out there, then we
would it be though? We'd probably be out of business.
No, they probably stifle our opinion. But if, you know, if we were one of the shows that was on their network, we'd get a lot more airs. We wouldn't have to ask. We'd just be there.
They'd put us on because we were their
we're
show.
The product. Yeah. Or it would be nice for us if we owned all those radio stations. Then again, we'd have to run them, which doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah, no thanks.
But running a radio station is kind of tough, and the radio business is seeing a lot of changes. iHeartMedia is,
they're in trouble.
Really, really, really in
and
debt.
And so is Cumulus.
Cumulus is
two of the biggest companies out there. And when companies get over their head in debt, there's usually only one way out, and that is to sell off assets to the highest bidder, which could be a bunch of mom-and-pop owners. So we may see a divestiture. Yeah! Talk Live. You dial toll-free and bring up anything that you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. You can Skype into the show here at username lrn.fm. With you tonight, by the way, it's Ian.
And Mark.
And I do want to let you know about Bitcoin.com. They've recently reported that Bitcoin transaction fees have been skyrocketing since 2015, and certainly even more so in the last several months. To many Bitcoin proponents, the current fee market is moving way too fast, making Bitcoin unusable for certain transactions. In fact, smaller transactions basically killed them off of Bitcoin, which is really sad. And so if you've been wanting to, you know, get the latest on what's happening behind the scenes with Bitcoin, with this geek war, this drama that's been going on, the folks over at news.bitcoin.com have been covering it. And this is an important issue. In fact, we're going to be talking more about it next week, Wednesday night. Charlie Schrem is going to be joining us on the air from Jax.io. He's going to be explaining this upcoming user-activated soft fork threat that is coming down the pike here sometime, probably August 1st. So there's a few weeks to kind of figure these things out, but it's getting a little scary, I have to say, for the future of Bitcoin, and we're going to be talking about that more next week. But if you want to get the latest on the news front from Bitcoin.com, just go to news.bitcoin.com. And if you are interested in learning more about Bitcoin, maybe you're brand new to it, just jump over to Bitcoin.com and you can get started there. So again, Ian and Mark in the studio tonight. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. We were talking with our first caller of the night about the issue of media consolidation. And we just touched on the point that some of the major radio station companies out there are heavily in debt. They don't seem to have any way to get out of that debt because they're way over-leveraged. And these big debt payments are coming up over time, and it doesn't seem like they can make it. So if they can't, then that means they're likely going to have to start selling off their assets to the highest bidder in a bankruptcy process. Now, I'm not an expert at bankruptcy, but that's my understanding of generally how things work. You go out, you know, you can't make your payments to your creditors, and then you got to sell off assets to try to do something. And that could ultimately lead to more independents running radio stations. It could lead to more choices in the marketplace as far as options are concerned, less of the media consolidation over time that we've seen. That's a possibility.
Yeah, I tend to think that there's going to be fewer. It used to be that, you know, you had the newspaper in town. It was basically a license to print money. You had the television station in town.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make bank. Well, the rules have changed over time, and the competition's changed over time. Digital has reached out and has reached out and taken a big old chunk out of advertising, and it's not going to stop anytime soon.
That's true.
You know, today, Facebook is, I remember 5 years ago, Facebook advertising was laughable. Just the notion of Facebook advertising really was a joke. And now it's not funny anymore. It's, you know, businesses of all sorts, local and, you know, all sorts of businesses are doing Facebook advertising. And
they say it works.
Google AdWords and all kinds of different advertising out there.
I don't want to buy ads on Facebook because I think it's a terrible platform. But there are people who are getting results from it. And I can't deny that. Well, our guy on Thursday nights, Chris from Route 101 Local Goods here in Keene, he says that it works for him. Like, he advertises local sales on Facebook, and people show up saying they saw it on Facebook. So obviously it can work.
Yeah. So that's the sort of the difference between branding advertising and direct response, mm-hmm. right? So if you're having sale, it's direct response. You need the customers to know right now, and those are the customers that are going to come for a sale. Whereas if you're trying to brand something like, you know, right now, what's your favorite brand of tire? What's your favorite mm-hmm. brand of soda? What's your favorite, you know, whatever it might be, something's coming up in your head.
And there are reasons for that.
And yeah. There's reasons, because some companies have worked very hard and paid a great deal of money to be able to get that branding, shoved into your brain, to occupy that real estate inside your brain. And I'm afraid, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it. All you print people out there, print and digital are very similar. Print and digital don't do branding the way that that audio does. So if you want branding advertising, you got to look at radio, you got to look at television, you got to look at podcasts, you've got to look at streams, you've got to look at something where people, you know, where people are talking or noises, people are hearing noises, and that's the way that branding works.
You got to look at Kim Kardashian. You put her in front of something, and people are going to pay attention to it, even though she probably doesn't really have anything worth saying.
That's a celebrity endorsement, and it works quite well.
Yep. What was the thing where she broke the internet? I don't know if she was advertising something, but it was you know, her in a semi-nude state bending over something. And there's just been so much coverage about Kim Kardashian, this and that. Now all of a sudden people are talking about her gun control views for some reason. Mark, right. You wanted to share those with us here tonight.
Yeah, generally I would try to avoid the whole Kardashian.
Yeah, why are we
thing.
Talking about this?
Well, because people care what she has to say. And
isn't that sad?
I think it illustrates what sort of the simplistic ideas people have about gun control.
There are plenty of, we'll get into her viewpoints here. There are plenty of attractive women in the world.
Sure.
Why this one? Why is Kim Kardashian such an obsession for people?
I cannot answer that for you. I think it's her fanny. People like it.
There's plenty of people with, you know, big butts.
I know. Like, the internet is full of...
Sir Mix-a-Lot made a video about it a long
fannies.
Time ago.
Right. And I mean, he really brought fannies into fashion, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have good answers as to why the Kardashians are the way the Kardashians are.
If you do, dear listener, you're welcome to join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. It's not her intelligence, right? 855-450-3733. She doesn't strike me as a particularly bright person, but I've never met her, so I don't really know.
There's lots of different types of intelligence, and we can say that she has managed to... I mean, she seems like a marketing genius, right? Mm. Like... We're all buying Kim Kardashian all the time.
I've never bought anything from Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, but the fact that we're talking about her means that we've bought.
Well, you were the one who brought her in for a show.
I understand.
Show prep
the reason I brought it in, you're the one wanting to talk about it. I want to talk about the quote because
right.
I think the quote is more interesting than the person who made the quote, because I think that we all have simplistic views on how. Guns can. Many of us have simplistic views on how guns are going to be fixed, and I think that Kim Kardashian.
Guns work fine. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you need to fix them?
Gun
for?
Control, I guess.
Okay.
So go ahead. Let me read this here.
Where's this from, by the way?
This is from thehornnews.com.
Sounds reputable.
What can I tell you? It's got a quote, and the quote's
all right.
Legit.
All right.
So anyway, it says right here. This is a quote from Kim Kardashian. I'm not against guns. I'm not against people owning guns. After what happened to me in Paris, and it's my understanding there's some terrible thing happened to her in Paris. I can't say that I'm an expert on this. I know how important it is to be safe and have armed security. So she understands that it's important for people to have armed security, or at least her. But there's a but to this. And
well,
I
hold
think
that.
It's really
hold on.
Important.
We'll get into that here. If you want to comment on Kim Kardashian, gun control, or whatever is on your mind, you can join us here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, this is Free Talk Live.
Tired of spending hours hunting down the day's essential political news and views? Let Tom and Steve at Rational Review News Digest do it for you. Visit rationalreview.com for free, hand-curated news, commentary, and audio and video content. Choose from web, social media, and once-daily email editions. We've been the Freedom Movement's daily newspaper since 1991. Come find out why at rationalreview.com.
Free Talk Live, dial toll-free, join us on the radio waves. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
Live Saturday edition of the program. Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, It's private and easy. Fees are low, and transactions are fast and can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. Go to Dash.org and find out why. So we're talking about, unbelievably, the gun control viewpoints of one Kim Kardashian. Mark, you had begun sharing a story from The Horn News, a right-wing website, with apparently a quote from Kim Kardashian that you wanted to share.
Yep, she says, "I'm not against guns, and I'm not against people owning guns. After what happened to me in Paris, I know how important it is to be safe."
What happened? Did she get robbed?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Some piece of important piece of jewelry or something. I can't say everything. But, you know, I mean, when you're high profile like this, crime can occur.
Yeah, sure.
I'm very pleased.
Crime can occur to anybody.
Yeah,
it can. Wrong place at the wrong
time.
Sure.
I'm just saying that, you know, crime of a higher level can occur. I'm happy she's safe. And, you know, that's I think that's what's most important here. Anyway, going on. All of my security team is armed. Of course, her security team is armed.
Yep.
But they also support stricter gun control laws and believe we should restrict access to firearms. Here you go. Here's the kicker. This is how we solve gun control, according to Kim Kardashian.
It's according to her security team.
Right.
She's not saying this.
Sure,
they are.
Her security team, I'm sure, is experts in making this happen. For one, we restrict access to firearms for people with mental illness. That sounds really awesome, doesn't it? Like, we're just going to stop crazy people from getting guns. Then it's all handled.
Mm.
But exactly how does this look like in the wild? Is it anybody who's ever had some kind of report of mental illness? Is it somebody who's disabled because of mental illness and receives a government check? You might have an agreement for me on that. Is it anybody's ever made an accusation that you're crazy? Because that's happened to me all the time.
Yeah.
I can get somebody to call right now and claim I'm nuts. Not a problem. So exactly.
I'll tell you right now, you're nuts.
Right. There you go. Not a problem.
But this has been something that this idea of crazy people shouldn't be able to get guns has been batted around in D.C. for a long time.
Yeah, it's a pipe dream.
I think they're trying to enforce that to some extent.
I understand.
They?
But the problem is that, you know, you can't for one. OK, Soviet Union decided to call people who didn't agree with Stalin crazy.
Yeah. If you are not in favor of the state, you're crazy. That's
right.
Oppositional defiance disorder. They got a name for it.
Right. They've got a name for this. So at that point, whoop, there goes the gun rights of all the people that disagree with the government. Just all you have to do is implement this rule. And there you go. The next thing.
Well, of course, before we get to the next thing, the important point is that you can pass all the laws and restrictions that you want to, but that's not going to stop a crazy person from getting a gun.
Right, and that's also the other issue is that when you outlaw crazies having guns, then only the outlaw crazies have guns, right? It's the crazies that will abide by your rules won't have any weapons, but the crazies who will not, who look remarkably like sane people... You know, it's not like cops are just going to be able to say, oh, yeah, that's a nutty guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, better pat him down, make sure he doesn't have any guns. Well, that's not how freedom works, America. That's not what this country was founded on. My Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. Now, I'm not saying that I don't think that there maybe could be some, a little tweaking to the Second Amendment to make it a better document for the 21st century, but it's... For people like this that have simple solutions to complex problems that scare the heck out of me.
Mm.
Going on. Anyone who's previously convicted of a misdemeanor. Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
That pretty much eliminates a good chunk of the people of the United States.
Well, I can tell you that the government can eliminate anyone's ability to have a gun at that point. Right now, there's three felonies a day?
That's right.
It suggests that the average American commits three felonies per day.
They just don't get caught.
They just don't know. They don't even know what they are in right. many cases.
Because there's so many of them.
There's a lot of people sitting out there listening to their radios right now saying, I don't commit three felonies a day. Well, maybe you don't know. But I'm willing to bet this. You commit three misdemeanors per day.
There's a good chance of that, for sure. You might commit more than three.
Right. Are you leaving your car running? that might be a violation level. I don't know. But there's all kinds of rules and all kinds of ways that they can get you. And misdemeanors, they're a dime a dozen.
Sure.
They're all over the place. And at this point, anybody who's got a misdemeanor conviction, that's just the government deciding who can have a gun and who can't.
Sure.
She says, convicted of misdemeanor, those who have been subject to a temporary restraining order.
That is really like a lot of people.
Right. Okay, so a restraining order.
Every relationship that has gone bad where one party has called the police has likely resulted in some sort of temporary restraining order.
Right. So you have people who, according to this list, who have misdemeanors, mental illnesses, or have ever had a restraining order put against them.
I mean, should we really be taking this lady seriously? Does anybody really care what she thinks?
Not because of who she is, but because there are people out there, lots of them, that believe that this is the kind of solution that's going to fix gun problems.
More control.
Right. Terrible things happen. Sandy Hook. Some madman goes in there, shoots up a school, and kills a whole bunch.
You had to bring up Sandy Hook. Now you know that. Conspiracy people are going to be
trotting out. The conspiracy theory people can trot out everything. They
claim
believe
it didn't
the
even
earth
happen.
Is flat.
Right.
Okay? So I can't deal with everybody's conspiracy theory out there. If I can't say around the globe without getting some lunatic calling into a radio show, Ian, I don't know what to tell you. So at Sandy Hook, we are told by the news, at Sandy Hook, a whole bunch of kids were killed by some lunatic. How could we have put rules in place? Well, any one of these rules would have stopped that lunatic, in all likelihood, from...
Didn't he steal that gun from his mother after murdering her or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
I think that would have prevented him.
Well, now we got to make sure that if somebody's in the house that fits these rules, then the house can't have a gun in it. There's always a new rule that you can put in place, and pretty soon, no one can have guns. That's what I'm saying is that, the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Let's go to Bob in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Hello, Bob.
Well, sure. Appreciate it, you guys.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to give an example of what happened to me back in 92,
sure.
A few years ago. But I had a lifetime handgun permit to protect myself. And when I did protect myself, I was attacked by somebody, and they jumped the fence and told me they were going to kick my ass. They jumped the fence and come running towards me. And I pulled my gun. I didn't shoot it. I didn't shoot them, or I didn't shoot the gun. But I was arrested for criminal recklessness and thrown in jail. And my name was on the front page of my local paper for criminal recklessness. And come on. What the hell? And real quick.
And all you did was defend yourself from an oncoming attacker. Now, what ended up happening? Did the state drop the charges? What was the...
Well, I was found not guilty.
Okay.
After waiting 8 months wondering what's going to happen to me.
Oh, yeah.
I could have been put in jail for like 5 years.
Justice's terrible swift sword.
I waited 8 months.
8 months is chump change compared to how long a lot of people wait. 3 years in some cases for criminal convictions.
Was it a jury or a judge that came down with that verdict?
I let a judge decide it.
Interesting. But Bob, hang on. If you got more to tell, if you got more to your story, stand by. We'll bring you back here in a moment. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, this is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Bring up anything you want. For some reason, we're talking about Kim Kardashian and her view on gun control, which she claims is her security agent's view. She has a security team that she says she's happy carries guns because she needs protection. That's important. But all those people with misdemeanor convictions, they shouldn't be able to have guns.
All the little people out there who don't have security teams, well, that's kind of, I mean, it's rather vain to presume that, you know, people could have security teams, I guess. I don't know what percentage of the population has security teams.
Probably less than 1%.
I'm going to say it's they say 1%. They're the 1%. Yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and say it's the 0.01% have security teams, and the rest of us have to defend ourselves with what's with what, you know, weapons that we have.
And she wanted to take gun rights away from even people who'd been accused of, what was it, domestic or a restraining order?
A restraining order. Anyone who had had a restraining order against them.
A temporary one, I think she said.
Right. And now a restraining order, for those that do not know, although it can be put in place by a judge, and I'm not
They're frequently put in place by judges on an ex parte basis, which means that the other party doesn't get to actually speak until later.
Right. It's not a conviction.
Right.
It's not a trial. It's nothing like that.
It's a preemptive
somebody saying, I feel threatened by this other person, and you need to violate their constitutional rights.
Right.
And I get it. I mean, like, I'm not against restraining orders. I'm just saying, hey, let's not pretend that a restraining order is some kind of, you know, anything but what it is. It's just a judge saying, all right, that person can't come within a certain distance of you.
Let's go back to Bob in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Bob, you were telling us about a story that happened to you back in the early 90s when a man rushed you and you defended yourself by pulling a gun but not actually firing it. You faced 5 years in prison for that, and ultimately a judge found you not guilty. Was there more you wanted to add to your story?
Well, basically, I just want to warn everybody that this can happen to you. I never thought it would happen to me.
Yep.
And real quick, the Second Amendment, it's, what are there, 23 amendments or 25? I can't remember.
I don't know off the top of my head, but
It's only right that you have where you have to pay a fee and pass a background check to exercise your right.
Not in every state. I mean,
you know,
Indiana is one of the freest states in the union, but I don't know what the rules.
You have to pay a fee and pass a background check to carry a handgun to protect yourself.
Not in New Hampshire.
I think that
or Vermont.
I think in New Hampshire that you can buy a handgun and just put it in your pocket and walk out.
Okay, well that's one of the few states.
Well, hold on. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about a permit. You were talking about buying a gun. I apologize. I maybe misunderstood.
Yeah, carrying a gun or protecting.
Yeah, okay.
Exercising your Second Amendment.
In New Hampshire, in Vermont, you absolutely have the right to exercise your right to bear arms without asking permission. You don't have to get a government permit to do it here, thank goodness. But,
yeah,
Mark, what you were talking about was
buying one.
And in that case, there's federal restrictions.
It depends if you buy it from a retail store or if you just get something off Craigslist.
Okay. As I understand it, you can buy a gun from another person in New Hampshire if that person is known to you without any kind of background check whatsoever.
Yeah, but I mean, in order to carry one, I think all 50 states you have to have a permit.
No, you do not.
No, that is
incorrect.
Nope.
Not in Vermont, not in New Hampshire, and I'm not sure about Arizona.
I don't think Alaska either.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate hearing from you. But it's understandable why somebody would think that because
in their state, they have to.
Well, and permits are pretty prolific. I mean, in certainly the super majority of states, they're going to want you to have a permit.
And I think from a theory standpoint, it bears pointing out permit is the root word of permission.
Meaning you don't have a right.
Right. The rights and permission are antithetical to each other. If you must ask permission to do something, you don't have a right to do it.
That's correct. They've converted the right into a privilege.
You may have a right to keep and bear arms, but you don't have a right to keep and bear arms on my property. You need my permission to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the United States government has owns all the property within the polygon that we know on the map that we know as the United States, then sure, then you would have to get their permission. But that's not the way I learned it in civics class, and it's not the way that it's sort of held out to us. I would say that functionally it is true that, the United States government does own all the land that is the United States. It's just theoretically not supposed to be that way. It just has become that way over 230 years.
And it's become that way because people have allowed themselves to become more enslaved over time. They've allowed themselves to be ruled by these people because if the first gun permit came out and everybody just turned their nose up and laughed at it, then it would never have gone anywhere, right? Like if you didn't have massive obedience, then you wouldn't have a lot of these problems. So people have sort of voluntarily given up their rights and converted them into privileges by going along to get along. Oh, well, there must be a good reason for this, so we're law-abiding. We're just going to do what we're told. Well, guess what? You do what you're told once, and they'll tell you to do something again and again, and then something new, and then something else on top of
that. People break speeding laws every day. There's enforcement of those speeding laws. Exactly how is it that civil disobedience is what you're sort of talking about here, or at least non-compliance? How is it that non-compliance has worked as far as speeding laws go?
Well, I mean, people speed all the time. So
I think you've got misplaced your blame. This is an enforcement issue. And God bless the men and women wearing badges across the United States, but those are the people that enforce these laws that the highest
they're
law
part
of the land
problem.
Says shall not be infringed.
I agree with you. They're part of the problem.
They take an oath to the Constitution of the United States and then presume that the Supreme Court can infringe the rights that the Bill of Rights was very clear on. And I would point out that the public refused to vote in the Constitution until the Bill of Rights were included. So there's a real problem here as far as...
I get what you're saying. The police take a lot of blame for enforcing bad laws, but if the people wouldn't go along with it, then it really wouldn't matter because
like
they can't
speeding?
Put everybody in jail. No, I'm talking about regulations and rules and permits and things like that. If everybody caught with a gun didn't have a permit, what are they going to do? Build a jail for 10% of the population?
What we see is that people don't like the speed limits out there, but they're willing to pay the ticket, right? What you're saying is that we need a nation of civil disobedience.
Which isn't going to happen. I'm just saying that's part of the reason why this is a problem. If you don't like the gun laws today, if you don't like all the regulations on business, well, part of the problem is people just do what they're told. If people didn't do what they were told, the state wouldn't have any control over them, or much less than it does. Let's talk to Sean in Virginia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sean. Listening to WNIS.
Hey, discussion here.
Welcome, sir.
I will fully concede that the Second Amendment could use some tweaking, but let me tell you why it never will be tweaked. I mean, besides the fact you need two-thirds of Congress, two-thirds of the states to sign off on it. Yeah. Besides, you need all that to get it taken care of. It's people like Kim Kardashian making these weird caveats that, unfortunately, our brainwashed people somehow agree with. It's people like Dianne Feinstein, Hillary Clinton, who agrees with, she's not in office anymore, but who agree with the Australian type of gun control. So, yes, the Second Amendment, when written, included, I don't care what anyone tells you, included cannons.
Yep, it included a cannon. Absolutely.
So people want to talk about the Second Amendment, they could not conceive of these weapons of war that we currently have. Yes and no. There were automatic weapons back then. Go ahead, do your history. Cannons.
Are you talking about the air rifle that Lewis and Clark took across the United States? Is that one?
I don't know which one you're talking about, but I've seen enough pictures and read enough to realize that there are more than one or two or three out there that I am referencing.
Okay.
So our founders were brilliant. And if you look back at Thomas Jefferson's readings and others, of our founding fathers, they were staunch gun rights.
Well, if these brilliant men had just gone ahead and put an enforcement clause into the Constitution, that would have been awesome, right? Like, if a politician is caught, attempting to pass an unconstitutional law, their head will be lopped off on the steps of the White House at noon the next day. Well, like, that might actually have worked.
It still requires them to enforce those words.
I gotcha, but
you can write the words
down. There's nothing there. A law with no punishment, as any lawyer will tell you, a law with no punishment has no teeth and is of no value.
You guys are hilarious. So let's get back to carrying guns, right? So carrying a gun. I am a what's called, I label myself as a moderate Republican who leans libertarian, which means I lean freedom. I don't want violent felons rolling around with firearms.
What about nonviolent felons?
Let me talk to you about that.
What about nonviolent felons?
Exactly. You got me. I don't know.
Okay.
Here's a problem.
Hold that thought, then.
I'm going to put your feet to the fire when we come back, because I have This is an issue that I'm really quite good at. Okay,
because you're a felon.
That's because I'm a felon.
More coming up here. And a violent felon. So stand by, Sean. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. That is the toll-free number. Allows you to join us here. Also on Skype at LRN.FM.
Bitcoin.com is of the opinion that the current Bitcoin Core development team is not taking satisfactory steps to ensure the growth and advancement of Bitcoin in accordance with Satoshi's vision. As community efforts to resolve these problems have failed, it is necessary to resolve them with a different approach. By using subreddit r/BTC instead of r/Bitcoin and running Bitcoin Unlimited, you are casting a vote against the current development team. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll free here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
So we've got something new happening here in the studio tonight, and maybe Saturday night's not the best night to experiment, but what the hell. We now should be able to take video on Skype, something we've never done before. We've had a video feed on Free Talk Live for quite a while now.
At cam.freetalklive.com.
Right. Anybody can go and watch that. It's hosted on YouTube Live. And for the longest time, the camera feed was just the studio, just two cameras switching in the studio. Now,
randomly, without any kind of like particular reason. So one of the hosts could be talking and the camera would be on the other host.
That's true. Sometimes reactions are fine to have.
It was visually better than just a cam sticking up in the corner of the ceiling.
Which is what it was originally.
But arguably only, mitigably.
So we finally figured it out how to take Skype calls on a cam feed, and I believe that I have that figured out at this point. So if somebody does want to call on Skype and feed video to us, you can now do that, and we have the ability to actually put your picture on the cam feed. So whether someone will do that, I don't know, but our Skype username is lrn.fm if you want to. So let's go back to the phones here to your calls and thoughts. And again, most of our radio listeners, this doesn't matter a whit to. So you're listening online or on the radio. Of course, you can only hear us. And that's fine. That's the way we mainly produce this show. But we've added a little bit of extra video. Anyway, Sean, with us in Virginia, you'd called to talk about gun control. And you sort of dropped the idea out there that violent felons shouldn't be able to have guns.
So they shouldn't be able to have guns. Yes, correct. But erring on the side of freedom, how do we enforce that? It goes back to one of the points that you guys made earlier. Do we want police officers on the block saying, look, I want to see your papers?
Yeah. No, I don't want that.
Yeah, I guess I have a solution for that. But let me run the argument out here. I am a convicted felon. When I was 17 years old, I was in a hotel room where a man was killed. I ended up doing 8.5 years in prison until I was finally released by an order of the Florida Supreme Court. That order did not exonerate me. It just got me out of prison. I could have chosen to take the trial, take it back to trial for a new trial, but I was free with a felony conviction. And I have lived that way since 1998 when I was released from prison. And life's been pretty good. I can't vote in Florida. I can't pass the border into Canada. And I can't own a firearm. So I live in a town that has no police officer. There's state police if something terrible happens, but you can't expect them to be there.
There's county sheriff.
Yeah, the response time is going to be tens of minutes. And when seconds count, it's nice to be able to have something to defend yourself. Now, my wife has the right to keep and bear arms, but there's some states that they would choose that they would just decide basically functionally she doesn't have those. Good heavens. Are you
all right? Sean?
I'm listening.
Okay. And since I can't have a gun, then that puts a damper on her right to keep and bear arms. Now, you know as well as I do, Sean, that I could go out and I could get a gun tonight, right?
You can get one in Virginia. All you got to do is go online and say, hey, buddy, I need a gun, and I can come sell you one, and no one's criminally held accountable, as they shouldn't be.
So we have now established that felons that care nothing for the law can get a gun. Violent felons who wish to have a gun can get a gun, except for the ones that don't want to run afoul of the law and aren't interested in going back to jail. So, again, when you have the old saw, which is when you outlaw guns, only outlaws have guns, now you have when you outlaw guns for felons, only outlaw felons have guns. And it's this real difficulty. Should I not be able to own a weapon to defend myself and my family from harm that may occur to me simply because, you know, something that happened when I was 17 years old, 30 years ago now, I have a solution. I believe that when somebody has been released from indenture, whether it's, you know, prison or probation or whatever it is, there should be a clock that immediately begins. Without another conviction after that, they should have their rights completely restored after 5 years. It's an arbitrary number. You know, why not 4 years? Why not 6 years? I don't know. People like the number five better than they like the number four. That's why. So you're going with the
arbitrary figure, and that's what gun control, unfortunately, goes with, is all arbitrary figures. So what do we do? Like I said, I don't want violent felons running around with guns, but that's my opinion. So the easiest way, someone like me who likes to side on the side of freedom, is we reference back to the Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed.
Right.
So unfortunately, yes, your situation is a rarity.
What's rare about it?
Is it that rare?
Is it that rare that a million convicted felons running around in the United States right now?
Right. Is it that rare that felons, you know, can get their S together and start a family and, you know, put their past behind them?
But here's the thing. You keep bringing up valid points. Every time I talk to a libertarian, which I am not one, but I lean towards it, they will shove it back in your face that we have a constitution and this is what it says. And I can't come back with an argument because freedom reigns. And we live in a country where the Second Amendment, as we all know, was written to prevent tyranny from the government. And as a secondary note, to protect yourself where, like you said, you live where a police response is 10 minutes away. So you get to die because someone runs into your house because you're unallowed to own a firearm because something happened 30 years ago and some law. And then how are we going to enforce this law? So I have my opinion on who should and shouldn't carry a gun, but I will always lean back to that Second Amendment.
So does Kim Kardashian.
Italian fathers are brilliant.
Hey, Sean, good call, man. I appreciate hearing from you tonight. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733.
Kim Kardashian doesn't mention your rights in her little blurb here, the little quote I have.
She doesn't care about your rights.
I suspect,
she cares about Kim Kardashian.
Didn't spend much time finding out about constitutional law from her father, but I could be wrong. You know, maybe she's a scholar. I don't know the answer.
Does she sound like a scholar?
No.
No.
She sounds like she has an opinion.
She's pawning off her opinion onto the opinion of her security team, claiming that it's her security team, you know, using their supposed authority on the matter to... she's claiming that they are the ones who want to restrict, misdemeanor convictions from having guns and, you know, all these ridiculous ideas. Even down to the point of having a temporary restraining order would prevent you from having a gun in the future, she claims. And, if you're Kim Kardashian's security team, if you're on her security team, Mark, and, you know, you're just kind of sitting around shooting it with Kim at, you know, outside of some fancy gala or something like that. And
I can't imagine the set of circumstances would lead me to having a conversation with Kim Kardashian.
I said you were her security team. So you're on her security team.
I can't imagine the set of circumstances would get me there either, but go ahead.
You're a security professional and you've been hired.
All right.
So Kim Kardashian starts mouthing off about her opinion on gun control. And you have the opportunity, given that you're around her a lot. You have the opportunity to get fired. Exactly. That's my point here. Is it really her security team who's saying these things, or are they just going, "Oh yes, Miss Kim, yes, whatever you say"?
I think that that's nonsense. She's right here on KimKardashianWest.com. She's ranting about it's been 18 years since Columbine, 10 years since Virginia Tech, 4 years since the Newtown. Like this is an issue for her.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I don't believe it's her security team. I believe it's all her. And if her security team has said, yes, Miss Kim, then that's because they want to keep their jobs
or
and not go up against her.
There's no doubt. A lot of people, the last caller probably included, really believe that their rights are important. Mm-hmm. And now the other the caller could see the, you know, his own failings there. The vast majority of people cannot see their own blind spots, right?
Right.
But people want the gun, their gun rights for them. It's that other guy. It's
they're
that
crazy.
Other right. You know, they're crazy. They're the wrong color. They're in the wrong neighborhood. They're acting the wrong way. That person shouldn't have a gun right.
Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, as the Bitcoin price continues to flirt with another record high today. Our toll-free number, if you want to join us, you can bring up absolutely anything you want on this live Saturday edition, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free. Bring up anything that you want. Live Saturday edition of the program here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and the Skype username here tonight is lrn.fm. With you in the studio, you've got Ian.
And Mark.
And if you've got Bitcoin or some of those alternatives that are getting more and more popular as the days go by, we want you to check out the official wallet of Free Talk Live. It's Jax, JAXX.io. You can get it there or at your Google or Apple App Store. It can hold Bitcoin, Ether, Dash, and a bunch more cryptocurrencies. And there's Shapeshift integration built in, so you can easily shift from one cryptocurrency to another. Say you've got some Bitcoin, but you want to turn it into Ethereum. Maybe you're excited about where Ethereum's going in the future, or Dash, for instance. You can easily do that from within your Jax wallet, JAXX.io. It's also super easy to back up your wallet and recover your funds if you need to with Jax. They give you, they're striving to give you command over your digital life, coins, contracts, currencies, identity, and more. Your digital command center in the palm of your hand. It's Jax, the official wallet of Free Talk Live at JAXX.io. Let's go to the phones and to the fun. We'll talk first to Joe. He's in Newcastle, Indiana, listening to WIBC. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey.
You're on the radio.
Yeah, I'm a felon from in my early 20s. My foster father died. I got a little wild. And, you know, I'm a business owner in my town now. I'm in the Chamber of Commerce, and I belong to different groups, and I've changed my life. I have a decent life now, family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't get my gun rights. I can't get a gun.
Yep, and therefore your family is defenseless.
What state do you live in? I'm sorry?
Indiana.
Yep. It's as I understand it, there's movement around you know, this issue that
really?
If felons are getting their rights restored, they may sort of have a loophole as far as you know, gun ownership goes. It ain't easy, but you know, it's just one of those things. I do know that G. Gordon Liddy, who was a felon.
Former talk show host
and former aide to Nixon, who
right,
was given
the Watergate thing.
Yeah, he was given a felony over Watergate. He said that he didn't own guns, but his wife did.
But his wife, yeah.
Yeah.
I tell people the same thing.
Is that legal, though?
Well, I mean...
isn't there some sort of thing about active possession?
My wife has her gun permit. So, and, you know, I don't know where hers is, but, you know... So in my city, there's the drug problems rampant. People are breaking in people's homes in broad daylight. And I have three daughters. And I just feel like, you know, what am I to do? And I have contacted a few lawyers about restoring my gun rights. And they, you know, they were like, well, you know, in this state, it's kind of a long shot. And they kind of just, you know, sorry, can't help you.
Yep.
You know, that's about where.
Well, it's better to have an attorney tell you I can't help you than sure, just give me $7,000 and we'll take a crack at it. You know, so at
yeah,
least they were
I
being
agree,
honest
I
with
agree.
You and saying, hey, this probably yeah. isn't worth your time and effort. I know it's no good, and plus, when you get people who are convicted of even nonviolent felonies, because it does, you know, the state doesn't discriminate. If you've got a felony, you don't get to carry a gun.
Yeah.
And so there's so
exactly.
many nonviolent felonies out there as well, and all those people are prohibited from defending themselves and their families. Joe, thanks for sharing your thoughts tonight. I appreciate
no
hearing
problem.
From you. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Let's go to Paul. He's also in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hey there.
I'm probably an unusual beast here. I am a total and 100% supporter of the Second Amendment, but I do not own a gun. And let me explain that to you. I live in an area where I feel safe.
Yep.
But my support for the Second Amendment comes from the awareness that not everybody lives in an area like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it should not be my decision whether someone that lives in an area that they don't feel safe should be able to defend themselves.
Yeah, I've got to say about my neighborhood the area that I live in, everybody's got a gun kind of place. You know, it's just one of those kind of places. So I'm not worried about burglaries or home invasions there because they have to – the random burglar or home invader has to get very lucky to stumble across my property, because if they pick another one, they're going to go home with little holes in them.
I understand that. So I always approach my support for the Second Amendment as it's a freedom to choose, and everyone should have that choice. Just because you live in a gated community or something like that, you know, and a lot of the people that I have spoken to, you know, about this live in affluent communities that they really don't have to worry about it. But what about the guys that live downtown and they fear for their lives every time that they hear gunshots on the street and things? It should be no one's choice except your own whether you want to carry a weapon to protect your family. And I support the Second Amendment. I don't own a gun, but you know, it should be everyone's choice how they choose to protect their family.
Good and they thoughts. Should be responsible for every action that they take with that firearm.
Of course. Hey, Paul, great call, man. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us tonight. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Your thoughts on gun control or whatever's on your mind. Let's go to John. He's calling us from Maine. John, where are you at in Maine tonight?
Portland, sir.
Oh, excellent. All
By
right.
the way, I'd like to say, if you're a felon, you can vote in Maine, always have been able to, and Vermont.
Yeah,
the only
Vermont.
Two states that allow felons to vote.
Vermont, you can vote from in prison.
That's
crazy.
Awesome.
Right? And we have more guns than any other state and less violent crime than any other state.
Yeah. No, wait, Maine has more guns than any other state?
Well,
Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, we're right up there.
Okay,
buddy.
All three.
The whole Acadia area can claim
thing,
a few
though,
special
here's
things.
The thing. The Second Amendment only speaks of military weapons. It does not address Granny's shotgun or any other thing like that. It addresses militia, military weapons only. We got a great gift about 10 years ago when the Supreme Court covered all guns. It could have gone the other way, so that we could only have military-specified weapons, like they did in South Carolina since 1902 until the 70s. You could only buy a handgun that was military-specified. That's it. No other. So we're very, very lucky that the Supreme Court, thank you, Mr. Scalia, for giving us the expanded rights about 10 years ago that were never there before. Thank you.
Thank you, John, for your call tonight. I presume you're listening to us on WLOB there in Portland. And I appreciate
yes.
it. Yep, I appreciate
lobster.
It. Yep.
Dance for Lobster.
Great station. We're on there six nights a week. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
The I did not know that about the specifying military weapons. That's probably something that had been sort
that's
of
a, that's a legal opinion. I mean, whether
right.
or not
legal opinions.
Not everybody agrees
so
with
what
that.
What it comes down to, when the Supreme Court has an opinion on a case, people decide that that's constitutional law.
I mean, you can read the Second Amendment for yourself. Is that what you were looking for, the Bill of Rights security edition that we had in
yes,
here?
Yes, I
found
I,
it. Okay.
I have it right here. I'm looking for my reading glasses.
Oh, okay.
I can't read it.
Yeah. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So again, some people interpret that as, oh, that's only for militias. But other people interpret that as the right of the people, period, that anybody in
the people.
It says
the right of the people.
Right, so.
Keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
I read it in the wide view, personally. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You join us on the radio here. This is Free Talk Live's live Saturday edition.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy. Fees are low and transactions are confirmed instantly. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Help people take control over their financial future today. Find out more at dash.org.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial in toll-free. If you want, you can join us here on the radio at 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. We're talking about gun control, and what sparked the discussion was none other than Kim Kardashian, who had some dumb things to say about gun control and her beliefs about it. We can continue that discussion here in moments. It's Ian and Mark in the studio, but coming up, and coming up fast, it's going to be Father's Day. I believe that's next weekend, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
Because time is running short to get your order in over at omahasteaks.com with code FTL. What you do is you type code FTL
into
up
the search
in the
bar.
Search bar up there, and you will find the perfect gift for Father's Day. And I'm not just talking about the special Father's Day offer that I'm going to, you know, run down for you here
and
in a moment.
It's a great offer.
And it's an amazing offer. If you've never had Omaha Steaks before, you pretty much should go with this just to get a real feeling for what it's like.
It's a nice combo, and it's a great price.
You know Dad loves steak. If he loves to grill but hates the hassle of going to the grocery store or dealing with perhaps poor quality at the grocery store, these guys have the best cuts of beef. They've got bison from the Golden Plains, seafood, poultry, pork, veal, lamb, vegetables, and more. You go to omahasteaks.com, and you put in code FTL in the search bar. Choose Free Talk Live. You'll see we come down. As soon as you put in FTL, Free Talk Live comes down below that. You click Free Talk Live, and then you'll be presented with the Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes, get ready for this, for $49.99, it includes two tender mild filet mignons, two bold beefy top sirloins, four crispy chicken fried steaks, four juicy boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha Steak Burgers, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, their Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, and they'll throw in an additional four burgers for free. All of that, limited-time offer for Father's Day, so you've got less than a week, basically, to get your order in if you wanted to arrive in time for Father's Day for $49.99. All you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com. Again, type in code FTL in the search bar. If you don't, you probably won't be able to find the deal very easily. And secondly, we won't get credit for it. So again, type in code FTL like Free Talk Live in the search bar, and that will take you right to the special offer, which Dad's going to love. And you'll love, too, if you order one for yourself.
It's great. I enjoyed mine.
Our listeners have been raving about Omaha Steaks. So omahasteaks.com, code FTL in the search bar. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. First up, it's Eric. He's in Suffolk, Virginia, listening to WNIS. Hello, Eric.
Hi. I listen to you guys every night on Saturday, but I'm sorry, I forgot your name. So
it's okay. Ian and Mark.
Hi. My question is for the gentleman, and I'm very pro Second Amendment, by the way, but it's a little off topic. My question is for the gentleman who mentioned that you're a convicted felon. Is that correct?
My name's Mark Edge, and I'm a convicted felon. Yep.
Okay, the reason I'm calling is because I was just wondering if you're at liberty to speak a little bit more on how all that happened.
I tried to give a brief explanation. And
what's
and
the rule that you can't make money off of?
The Son of Sam rule. So, I can't be terribly specific, but
okay.
I can say that I was in a hotel room when a man was killed by my co-defendant and friend. The reason I was there was I was told that he was going to introduce me to his cocaine dealer, and I was going to be a cocaine dealer. I'm 17 years old. And stupid.
Okay.
And you weren't already slinging coke at that time?
No, I was not. I never did. I've never sold cocaine.
Wow.
Not one time.
Wow.
But I happened to be in a hotel room when a person was killed.
I've known you since 1998 or whatever, 99, and I always presumed that you were a cocaine dealer, which is why you were in the hotel room. I didn't realize that was a transition, or supposedly a transition of power or customer list or something.
That's what was supposed to be happening. And as I understand it, not all these things you find out afterwards, right? Like, I didn't know what was going on. Co-defendant apparently had embezzled like $150,000 from this guy. Who was his boss at work, and thought that killing him was going to be a solution or something. Yes. I guess now, again, I don't know. But, I mean, and my co-defendant's dead. There's only one person that was alive, that is alive, that was in that hotel room.
Oh, my gosh.
And he died separately, and boy, the
didn't
world
didn't he get shot in a van or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he was...
after he got out of prison?
Yeah, he got out of prison, and he was found dead in a van, shot dead in a van. Frankly, the world's better off
so
without
you were,
him.
Oh, good. Well, I was just going to say, sorry to interrupt you. So you were convicted of the murder, or you were... I'm just confused.
Right.
What was there?
So there's what they call a felony one murder rule, and if you are, if you commit a felony, and during the commission of a felony, somebody dies, you are guilty of that murder.
Wow.
So
wow.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, you got some pretty you got high level of enthusiasm for someone that's been locked up for, you said it was 8 years.
Yeah, 8.5.
Well, you've been out since 1998.
Yeah,
been out for almost
20
years.
I've been out a long time. I try not to make that the thing that defines me. I sincerely hope that I can make make everybody proud that was involved. It's a tough thing to live with, but that's how it is.
Well, hey man, hats off to you, and thank you both for
Thanks,
your time.
Thanks, Eric.
Enjoy your weekend.
Yep,
okay?
Appreciate the call tonight. Thank you, sir. The toll free number here is 855-450 free like freedom, 855-450-3733.
And I hope one of the things that I really hope is that I can stand as a goal, as an example for those that have felony convictions out there, for those that are dealing with difficulties that people want to define them by that difficulty. Like, I am not going to be able to ever live without being called a convicted felon. I am defined by a mistake that I made at 17 years old. Hmm. And it was a deadly mistake. It was terrible. I don't believe that my presence there would have changed the outcome. But nonetheless, I'm there. I'm responsible, right? For everything that I did. But I hope that everybody makes mistakes, and I hope that people realize that you can make a mistake and you can still have a great life. So there you go.
Let's continue with your calls and thoughts. Rick in Columbia, South Carolina. Rick, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, you're listening on WQXL. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, Mark, I want to tell you, I retired recently as a federal officer after 25 years, and had lots of convicted felons come to me. And if you'll go to an attorney, and it won't cost you much money just to write a letter to the U.S. pardon attorney, you can get your gun rights restored.
U.S. pardon attorney?
The U.S. pardon attorney.
What is that?
Yeah, you can get a part. It's with the U.S. Attorney's Office out of Washington with the Justice Department.
I see.
They have a team of people who look at pardons, and you can get a presidential pardon.
The presidential pardons are only for federal crimes. I wasn't convicted of a federal crime. I did go before Charlie Crist when he was the sitting governor of the state of Florida, and he refused at that time to give me a pardon and restore my gun rights. It was a patent refusal. He could have downgraded it from my application for a pardon. It could have been a conditional pardon. He could have offered restoration of rights without I can't remember, forgiveness or whatever the terminology was for the crime. He had a choice to do any of those things. And Charlie Crist did a great deal for felons across Florida. The reasons that many of them get their rights restored
just
is because of his work. But for whatever reason, he didn't think I was a good choice.
He dropped off the line.
Terribly sorry. I suspect it's because, they looked into what my job was, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a radio program where we question the government.
You think so? You think they dug that deep?
Secondly, I had at one point, filed. I had to file some paperwork for bankruptcy, right? Mm-hmm. And this was, some years ago. And at the time, I was supposed to list any firearms that were in the house in there. My girlfriend had a firearm. I listed it, and.
Oh.
For the fact that there was a firearm in a domicile that I was in was brought up at this hearing.
Wow.
So I don't know if that had anything to do with it either. Wasn't mine, but I've been in the presence of guns. I suspect I'm in the presence of a gun right now.
I'm not telling. Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free and join us on the radio waves here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
And also, do want to invite you to check out the brand new Patreon that launched about a week and a half ago. I finally got around to really kind of putting it up on the website officially today, loaded up with work, over at LRN.FM. LRN is the Liberty Radio Network. It's kind of an offshoot of Free Talk Live that we started back in 2009. We then put on LRN. It's an internet streaming for the most part. But in 2010, I put it up on satellite over North and Central America. And it's been there since that time, so we're up to 7 years now that it's been on satellite and what's called free-to-air satellite. In 2012, we also put it up on a different satellite over sub-Saharan Africa. So it's an international satellite signal that is receivable by anybody with a cheap dish and a cheap receiver. It's called free-to-air. There's hundreds of channels up there, and we're one of them, bringing the ideas of liberty and peace and cryptocurrency to audiences we don't know how large they are, but they can span continents. And recently, the AMP program, the Free Talk Live AMP program, which is a way for listeners like you to get behind Free Talk Live, had been assisting in funding the LRN satellite feeds, but we decided to break them out into their own fundraiser. So that people who support that specific project can make sure that their money is going to that specific project, because not everybody is on board with those satellite feeds. Mark, you're one of the ones who's been a skeptic sort of the whole way. And so that's one of the reasons why
I love your dedication to them. And yeah. you are dedicated to delivering the program to anybody who can hear it.
Well, thankfully, I'm not the only one who values it. We've already had several people step up and join the Patreon. You can do that over at... And so I'm debating, Mark, should we promote patreon.lrn.fm or fund.lrn.fm? Because Patreon, does everyone know how to spell that?
No.
I don't think they do. So fund, I think, is easier to understand. So if you want to go to fund.lrn.fm, that will take you straight to the Patreon page in question where you can learn more about it. You can learn about our friend Akko in Cameroon, who found us on satellite radio out there, which is, again, a very oppressive state. And some states even confiscate satellite dishes. I put up a news story over at freekeen.com announcing this Patreon that we're doing. And one of the news stories that I had talked about in there was Iran. The state of Iran last year destroyed 100,000 satellite dishes and receivers.
Wow.
They confiscated them from people, and they put them in a stadium, and they took it. It looks like they burned them first, and then they ran them over with a bulldozer. And all of this is because, well, the fact is satellite television and radio are a danger. You know, the freedom of information is a danger to these oppressive regimes in the world. And our signal, LRN.FM, is on satellite over a lot of the world's most oppressive countries. So if that to you is worth $2 a month to support that satellite feed, then you can go and join our Patreon. Just go to fund.lrn.fm. That's F-U-N-D, fund.lrn.fm. I'm just going to read you a quote from this Al Jazeera piece here about the satellite dish, I guess, collection or confiscation that happened in Iran. So get this, Mark.
I'm listening.
Iranian police regularly raid neighborhoods and confiscate dishes from rooftops, and under Iranian law, satellite equipment is banned, and those who distribute, use, or repair them can be fined up to $2,800. Reforming this law is very necessary, as using satellite is strictly prohibited, but most people use it, said one of the experts from Iran. He said further, this means that 70% of Iranians violate the law by owning satellite dishes. People in these places where they have these oppressive, I mean, even more, we think the U.S. government's oppressive. There's even more oppressive governments out there.
Oh, absolutely.
And the people in these places, they want freedom to speak. They want freedom to read. They want freedom to listen. They want to be able to hear other ideas. And they're willing to risk a possible arrest and fining. And who knows what else? In some places like North Korea, you'll probably be put to death if you are found with a satellite dish. But in places like Cuba and Iran, they are definitely confiscating them. They're raiding people's homes over this. But you're going to love what General Mohammad Reza Naghdi had to say about this. This is the head.
I'm a big fan of him anyway.
This is the head, this is the head of Iran's Basij militia. He explained the dangers of satellite dishes.
Uh-huh.
Quote, "The truth is that most satellite channels deviate the society's morality and culture. What these televisions really achieve is increased divorce, addiction, and insecurity in society. Most of these satellite channels not only weaken the foundation of families, but also cause disruptions in children's education and children who are under the influence of satellite have improper behavior," he said.
It's the same thing that they've said about just about every form of media since whenever, right? I don't care if it's The Great Gatsby, comic books, video games, Ozzy Osbourne, you name it, it's the same old saw.
I just love the phrase, under the influence of satellite. It's ruining families. So, you know, when they are rounding people up and confiscating satellite dishes, that the state thinks that the satellite thing is a pretty big threat to their power, which that's why I think
they think it's a threat to the power. Ian wants more.
That's why
of
I
it.
Want to be there. That's why I want the message of liberty to be heard in these places. So again, go to fund.lrn.fm if you want to get behind our Patreon for $2 a month and get access to a few bonuses. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We got Mike in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Hey, Mike.
Hi. Enjoy your show.
Thanks.
I just wanted one more comment on Kardashian and her rant about the Sandy Hook and Columbine. What her and her followers need to realize is the only one on site with a gun was the bad guy.
Yep.
Because they were all gun-free zones.
And yeah,
yep, that's an important point.
From there.
Yeah, I think that LaPierre, whatever the NRA president at the time, and I don't know if he still is.
LaPierre.
I'm not a big fan, honestly. I don't follow these folks, but they're doing the work of trying to secure the Second Amendment, like I am, and I have to agree with the statement. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And we've seen that you take the stories here in the United States, you can't take them from the rest of the world because basically the rest of the world, or at least the industrialized world, has been disarmed.
That's true.
You take a look at the stories here from the United States, and over and over and over again, these things that are called mass shootings tend to be smaller when there's a person with a concealed carry permit who's nearby. And, you know, I mean, I don't think a person should have to have a concealed carry permit to carry a gun, and in several states, you don't. However, that's the way we're able to sort of figure these things out and parse them out. In many cases, it will be a law enforcement officer who's off duty when you look at these stories. And, you know, they've had the training and that sort of thing. But, you know, I worked with law enforcement officers for years, and I can tell you the training was mitigable. It's not like they spent a lot of time at the range. So you can have the level of training that a law enforcement officer has.
Mike, any other comments?
No, that's it.
Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate hearing from you.
There.
Yes, sir. That's what we do 7 nights a week. If you don't get us live all 7 nights on your local radio station, well, you can call the program director and ask real nicely for more Free Talk Live. Of course, you can also grab us anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. Let's go to Kevin. He's in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
First off, love what you guys are doing, man.
Thanks.
Secondly, I guess politically, I guess I would, you know, identify myself as a Democrat, but I listen to like a lot of right-wing radio, liberal radio, or libertarian radio, just to kind of get perspective. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And based on like just the, I guess, gun laws and the Second Amendment and all that, I don't know much. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I have a bunch of facts to shoot at you guys. But isn't it true, like in America, I guess we have the most gun violence and the most mass shootings out of any other country on the planet. Isn't that correct?
No. There are places
it's
like
not.
Tegucigalpa, Guatemala.
Well, it's up there. it's
yeah.
up there.
Oh, yeah, there's absolutely. Okay. As far as I would say that if you sort of look at the industrialized world, that the United States has higher rates of crime and right. violence than most.
And as I think it was right. Michael Moore who pointed out in his Bowling for Columbine film, Canada's got kind of a similar culture, but they don't have the same level of gun violence as the United States, which is kind of interesting. Let's get into it further. If you got more to say, Kevin, hang on. We'll bring you back here in a moment. The toll-free number, because I like to have opposition. It's easy to talk to people
that
agree.
He's asking good questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll continue here. Hour number 3 is on the way. 855-450-FREE if you want to join us on Free Talk Live.
North to Port is a liberty-inspired fiction podcast about a band on tour. Each episode chronicles the band's adventures in the form of a radio interview at a tour stop location. Listen as North to Port explores liberty themes in friendly ways, with humor and music. To listen to the podcast and the accompanying album, please visit northtoport.com. That's NORTHTOPORT.com. Or just search North to Port in your favorite podcatcher.
Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of the program. Of course, you can join us on the radio waves here by dialing in toll-free. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. For those of you just tuning in, we started the show talking about Kim Kardashian. We started the show with a phone call, but then we got into the story about Kim Kardashian. For some reason, we're talking about her opinion on gun control, which, as you might expect, is woefully uninformed and ignorant of people's rights to, let's say, bear arms. She wants to restrict people who have simply had a misdemeanor conviction or even a temporary restraining order placed against them.
Well, I think she's correct that the right to keep and bear arms has been infringed at at every corner here in U.S. history, and so therefore the constitutional rights have become, to some extent, meaningless. This is.
But what is she correct about?
She's correct that functionally, yes, the United States government or a state government could decide you don't get a, the ability to carry a firearm if you had a misdemeanor conviction. Sure, they did it with felons. Why not misdemeanors? Why not a violation level offense?
Okay, so what you're saying is she's correct from a legal perspective that they can do whatever they want to do, regardless of what the Constitution says. Not that she's correct in her opinions.
Well, I don't think that I don't think she's right in the area of rights theory.
Because her opinions lead to tyranny. Taking away weapons from people, the ability to defend yourself, is a surefire step on the way towards a complete and total state.
I'm more interested in the caller we'd had on before we went to the break there.
It's Kevin, actually, in Indianapolis, who is with us here. Kevin,
you've done an amazing thing, Kevin. You listen to talk radio to get opinions that differ from your own, and that already makes you a thinker in my book. Somebody who's willing to challenge their own opinions is pretty rare these days.
For sure.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think nowadays people only listen to news outlets or get information that agrees with themselves. You know what I mean? So I think when you go against the grain and listen to people that oppose me, maybe you get a new perspective. But what I was saying earlier, I think that the guy in Orlando that did that mass shooting, I believe he was on a watch list of some sort.
Yeah, I think he was on something.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't see why if we don't have laws or stricter gun laws that would prevent him from getting a firearm. I don't see why that's such a barren, or a burden on law-abiding citizens that want to have a firearm. You know what I mean?
What are you saying is a burden? Or you don't see why something is a burden?
Having stricter gun laws in that sense.
The burden is that it gets in the way of people being able to carry a gun. So if you, for instance, are in a rush to acquire a gun, let's say you've never had one before, but then somebody threatens your life or your family's lives, and you decide you want to go ahead and get a gun, but you want to do it legally, well, guess what? You can't do that immediately. You have to wait.
Well, because you're on a watch list.
I'm just talking about people in general.
He was being very specific, though.
Yeah.
Kevin was saying, what about watch lists? I mean, so they're, you know, the government has lists of people that they watch, and should those people be able to acquire a weapon? In this case, a person who was on a watch list acquired a weapon and did some terrible, terrible things with it.
Exactly.
I guess the rebuttal to that, Kevin, would be that man had never been convicted of a crime. And until, and you know, the rule book says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And it's my opinion, you know, I'm not a constitutional scholar, but, you know, I dabble in rights theory. It's my opinion that while the rule book says shall not be infringed, the government shouldn't be infringing it. Now, if they want to add a caveat to people who are on watch lists, then I think that three quarters of the states and two thirds of the House of Representatives and two thirds of the Senate should have to change
those rules.
It's unlikely that they would. Changing the Constitution is extraordinarily difficult in both positive and negative ways. But to change the rules just on the fly, I find to be upsetting.
Okay, so I apologize for misunderstanding the question. I thought you were just asking about these restrictions in general and why should that bother law-abiding people. You were talking about specifically about the watch list and why should that bother law-abiding people? Because you don't know if you're going to be on that list.
Right.
They've put all kinds of names on these watch lists, these no-fly lists, for instance, people who have a name that's similar to a supposed terrorist get told they don't get to fly.
That happened for a while.
You think that actually happened?
It absolutely happened.
You know, the stories are, well, happened. I don't know if it's still happening, but there was the watch list as opposed to the no-fly list. And but what happened with the no-fly list is in some circumstances, somebody would share a name. So there's terrorists out there. Irish terrorists who were in the IRA, right? They're listed on international lists. So you have some guy with a name as ordinary as Thomas O'Neill, right? And Thomas O'Neill can't fly. Well, now the computer kicks out. They found a Thomas O'Neill. They kick him out. And this was happening all over the place in like 2002, 2003, 2004, where people weren't flying. In one case, they wouldn't let a nun fly. And, you know, it was
hard for them to get off the list as well.
Right.
Very, very difficult.
Once you're on a list, you haven't been convicted, Kevin. You're just on a list.
Right.
Once you're on that list, what happens when Kevin's on the list and he wants to, you know, have a firearm? Maybe you don't want one today, but you may in the future. You know, how do you get off this list? Well, there was no functional way for that to happen. The government denied the existence of the list, even though people weren't flying. And this is the problem with unaccountable bureaucracies. Go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry.
I see your point, but I mean, man, the likelihood of that happening, you know, I get with somebody trying to pursue a firearm and then being accidentally on a list, I don't see that happening that much. You know what I mean? I mean, the probability of that occurring, it doesn't matter until it happens
to you, right? That's, you know, the thing is that there's 300 million people in the United States. It doesn't happen to happen often. People are killed by falling coconuts. People are killed by their automatic windows in their cars. You know, weird things happen, and governments are extraordinarily inefficient. Once we start erring on the side of, no, you don't get a gun, rather than erring on the side of, yes, you do get a gun, then essentially nobody has a gun. There are places in America, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., where it is functionally illegal to own a gun. Now, those places aren't paradises devoid of crime by any stretch of the imagination.
Chicago's, a murder capital of the United States?
It was one year.
No,
I think
it is.
You know,
I think it still is. I know
Baltimore and Chicago.
I think they had over 400 shootings in August. But just so I get you guys' point, so you did basically bottom line, just to cut out, you know, all the gray area. Do you guys believe that people on watch lists should be allowed to purchase a firearm? That's pretty much your stance on the entire thing.
My stance
and
is...
I also want to know, you know, like mentally ill people. I know in some circumstances, you know, mental illness can be kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It can be kind of vague, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Right. Especially when it's the state psychologist who gets to decide whether or not you qualify. And of course, they're going to err on the side of the state and err against the people who are trying to get these qualifications. Look, I err on the side of freedom. Whatever freedom is, which is, in this case, the ability to bear whatever kind of weapon that
shall not be infringed,
that you want to, that you should be able to do that, and that if we have a society where people are able to, you know, bear whatever weapons they feel they need to, then I think that will help keep people safe. We've certainly seen that's the case in places like Vermont and New Hampshire, where you don't have to ask permission to carry a gun. You can just get one and carry it openly if you want, or concealed. And you know what? Vermont and New Hampshire have the lowest murder rates of all the 50 states.
I think that's causation and correlation.
I was about to say that. But I don't want to take up all your time.
I would much rather. It's a good call, Kevin. I appreciate hearing from you. You can call back any night of the week, even though we're not on live in Indianapolis. We're on live 7 nights a week. So call back another time. I appreciate it. We're coming up. Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You may dial in toll-free here. Live Saturday edition of the program. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we do have Skype at Skype username lrn.fm. So let's see. We're going to continue with your calls and thoughts here. You can bring up anything you want to discuss. We go to John, listening in Laconia, New Hampshire. To WEZS. Hey, John.
Hey there. How's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
So I wanted to bring up a story that's kind of been shoveled under the pile here.
Sure.
Because all the news told me and Trump's international travel. The Trump administration just said that they were wanting to push to privatize the FAA and specifically air traffic controllers.
Yeah.
Really?
Personally, I think it's a terrible idea.
Why?
Okay. Why?
I think it's so. I understand that they've had great success with it in Canada, but the issue of weight here is that this is about the safety of people rather than the expedience or the profit of the airline industry. So, the supposed advantages of privatizing the air traffic control system of the FAA would be you could get flights closer together, supposedly. You could get more aircraft, sorteeing.
Why would the privatization of air traffic control employees have anything to do with, tightening or loosening the schedules?
So the idea is that if you remove the bureaucratic process,
okay,
that is involved with the FAA, you would eliminate the overhead in making action.
Hello? Do we lose you? John?
Regarding, suggesting that, we should space aircraft tighter together. And that's a safety issue because...
Well, in one case, the one thing is the change
a small
of a...
aircraft.
Right. The one thing
behind
the difference
larger
is,
aircraft, it can be subject to wake turbulence and it can cause that aircraft to stall out and crash.
Sure. There, there's
which would
two
be very bad, obviously.
There are two issues at hand here. One is how should how should air traffic controllers be unionized and how should they be employed and for whom should they work and that sort of thing. On the other side, you have a regulation.
Right.
I don't understand. You know, that one doesn't mean the other. But they may be, for whatever reason, stuck together in this circumstance. I would not be able to comment on what the best regulations or rules or procedures that should be in place for every given airport or airplane out there, I wouldn't be able to say. I can say that other countries have tried with some success this, having air traffic control employees employed by airports rather than by the, centralized government agency, and it has gone fine. Yeah. Secondarily, the marketplace provides us with safety every single day. The guy who worked on the brakes in your car wasn't licensed, wasn't a government employee, and, there's probably not even a government rule for exactly how he does his job. He just goes by a set of standard procedures.
Yeah, that's what I object to in what you were saying, John, is that the fear here that you're presenting is that, well, without centralized command and control structures like the current FAA air traffic control system, that that's somehow going to put people in greater danger. And that's just not how the marketplace behaves. I mean, people want safety. They certainly know there's danger in regards to flying places, and so they're going to want to make sure that they feel like they're safe, and that's what the marketplace does. That's why car companies have safety features. That's why airlines have safety features, and they want people to feel safe.
And I completely agree with that. So my question to you is, one, does capitalism encourage risk-taking?
I don't know what capitalism. How do you define capitalism?
So in this instance, you have either the bureaucratic option of the FAA being exclusively a safety-minded organization. Its entire purpose of existence is to regulate the safe travel.
Well, they've got you fooled because
of passengers. Their purpose is to manage safety.
That's their purpose.
They've got you fooled then, because you if you believe everything the government tells you, then you're a dupe. Our co-host, who's not on with us tonight, he's Daryl W. Perry. He actually worked for an airline in the past and worked on the tarmac, with planes, was out there on a regular basis, and he told me that he never once saw an FAA inspector out on the tarmac looking at planes. Your planes are being inspected by the airline themselves to make sure that they're ready to fly to the next location, or else they get grounded and then fixed. And it has nothing to do with the FAA. They're not out there checking.
Let's not forget the FAA just recently attempted to regulate civilian ownership of remote control airplanes. They were, basically saying, you're going to need to register. You should register with
us. Drones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was the Drone Registration Act or whatever the heck it was that they just – now, this wasn't legislation. This is just
regulation.
Agency that has, aviation in its name decides that's going to happen.
That's right. So what happens when an airliner on final approach to Boston Logan Airport hits a drone and it loses an engine because of it?
I don't know, but the FAA just decided to release. They relinquished that particular control, and they said,
"Correct, that's correct." Yep. It was struck down in court, as is proper, because that is the system of checks and balances that we have in this country.
Really, I hadn't heard they'd struck down the drone regulations.
They struck that down. That's correct. So
interesting.
So what happens is, if you are a recreational drone owner, don't need to register your drone.
So how come we don't have airlines crashing to the ground because of all these drones flying about?
Because as of yet, no recreational drone user has been foolish enough to fly their drone in the vicinity of an airport, though. But I challenge you to go on YouTube and look at all of the reckless actions that have taken place in this country and in other countries around the world, where you can see operators using their drones in close proximity to other aircraft in the air.
When you outlaw drones, only outlaws have drones. A person should be responsible for their actions, right? Like, how many reckless actions with handguns have you seen, and how is that going?
Here's the difference, right? So here's the difference. If you do something reckless with your car, you can pull over to the side of the road and be reasonably safe.
Yep.
If you do something reckless with an airliner, there is no option to just pull over and be safe. If you damage the structural integrity of an aircraft, you might not have the option of landing safely.
Oh, okay? I hear you. So look, it's
fear,
all scary.
Fear, fear.
It's all scary. There's no doubt about it. Look, I understand.
It's not the same thing as cars or guns.
It's the same thing as guns, okay? Because I can go out today and I can snipe at cars. And, you know, I could choose to do that if that's what I wanted to do. I could get a rifle and I could shoot people in their cars, and there's nothing that anyone could do about it. And I could skulk off into the woods and nobody would catch me.
John, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate the discussion. The fear, you know, to me is not a motivator. I understand that's what gets people to believe in government and believe that the government's out there keeping them safe. But just a crock.
It doesn't stop it from happening.
Right. And you know what's also illegal? It's illegal to shoot a laser pointer up at the cockpit of airlines.
It's just something to charge, an additional charge for the person who brought down an airplane.
More coming up. Free Talk Live.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, live Saturday edition of the show. You can dial in toll-free here and bring up anything that's on your mind. 855-450-3733, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Mark.
And also want to make sure you know about the AMP program. Free Talk Live AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. If you like the fact that Free Talk Live is heard on now over 170 radio stations from coast to coast, and you want to help us get on 200, 300, you know, keep that number increasing over time, you can help us with that with the AMP program and get perks for yourself, like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only Facebook group, and the AMP-only, the podcast. There's a podcast that does not have the regular podcast commercials. That's just for amplifiers. You go to amp.freetalklive.com and get signed up there with Bitcoin or credit cards, as well as PayPal. So go to amp.freetalklive.com. As we go to your calls and thoughts, we've got Rob in Chicago listening via TuneIn online. Hello, Rob.
Good evening, guys. How you doing?
Hey, great. What's on your mind tonight?
I don't know. You guys have been going through topics, you know, like one after the other. It's hard to keep up. You call and talk about one thing, and you guys just keep.
You don't have to stay on topic. You can call about anything you want on Free Talk Live.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question?
So you just go right ahead.
Well, you know, so many things to talk about. I got a comment for, you know, just about every one of them.
Pick one. It's always best to just focus on one.
I'm just going to put out a fact here. You said about 300 million. I know you were just being round numbers there. 300 million people in the United States. Officially, it's upwards of 325, and I say officially because literally they don't add in the numbers of all the Africans and Middle Easterns that they're sneaking in overnight, and plus the illegals that they keep trying to keep downsize the numbers on that. So it could, who knows, it could be
if they're undocumented, they're undocumented, right?
Well, yeah, well, they're sneaking them in by the our government.
Is sneaking in immigrants?
Well, yeah. I mean, you guys have heard of the Josh Tully video, right?
No.
Where he interviews this lady out of St. Louis, and she was one of the NGOs, and she basically gave the rundown of how they would basically pick them up off the streets in Africa and put them on a plane. They're here in the United States the next day, and they give them papers and they send them on their way.
So doesn't NGO stand for non-governmental organization?
Right.
But how is that the government
behind it?
So you're saying the government is hiring non-governmental organizations to smuggle in human beings?
The NGOs. The government pays the NGOs, which is their incentive to pick the refugees up from or the economic migrants from the airport and then integrate them into their
community. Okay, hold on. So wait. Are we talking about refugees, or are we talking about immigrants who are not legal?
All of the above, but this isn't a subject I want to talk about.
Okay.
Just because some lady makes a claim on a talk radio show or YouTube video doesn't make it true.
No. Right. Josh Tully, you guys can look it up. The Josh Tully Show, and it's a YouTube video, but he got a good hour or so talking with a lady who was part of one of the NGOs, and she's basically telling the truth that, you know, nobody else gets to hear anywhere else. I mean, you guys heard the State Department recently with the new funding of the new budget turned around and took the the limit off of how many refugees they're putting in the country now. There's no more limit. They can put 1,000 a day. They can put 10,000 a day. They can put 30,000 a month.
Do you have a problem with refugees coming to the United States?
Well, they're not refugees. They're not even Muslim. Half of them are just Africans. They're just picking them up off the streets of Africa, and they're bringing them into the United States and setting them free. There's no vetting. There's no health vetting. There's no vetting for violence.
As I understand, as I understand it, the refugee, to be a refugee, you go through
the
greatest vetting of anybody who enters the country.
That's the propaganda.
That's the propaganda. I mean, I don't know what else to do.
Well, you're giving us propaganda too. I mean, it's all propaganda.
No.
I'm
telling you.
You saw a YouTube video.
No. I believe me. I listen to a lot more things.
I believe you saw a YouTube video.
I'm saying there's that somewhere you can look to listen to an interview. You can start searching around.
Look, I don't care. Even if what you're saying is true, it doesn't bother me if people are coming here.
All right.
Why should I be bothered by that? I mean, do you support freedom or not?
Absolutely, if we had it.
Oh. So in the meantime, you don't support freedom because we don't have it?
The problem with refugees is they get a whole bunch of money.
There's a difference between freedom and liberty. You can have the freedom to do what you want, but you got to have the liberty to do it. There's a difference. You got to have liberty.
I'm not entirely sure how you're using the terms freedom and liberty.
Shouldn't everyone in the world have liberty?
You got to start locally, man. You got to start locally. You got to start.
So we get the liberty here, and once we have liberty here, other people can have it. I'm fine with that.
Can I have people come here locally, like people
that got to help themselves?
People that want to be free, like from an oppressive regime, escaping to the United States, escaping here to New Hampshire. Should I be able to let that person come be on my property without asking permission?
Okay. Well, let's start with Iran. You called them oppressive. Yeah. Iran is one of the most progressive secular countries in the Middle East, period. They have Christians in their government. They have Jews in their government. They have
we just
Muslims
shared a story earlier about how they destroyed 100,000 satellite dishes last year. That's progressive.
My question to that is, where did you get this story?
Al Jazeera.
Okay, well, let them destroy satellites, because you know what, TV
that's progressive
for you. TV is not great. I shut off my TV about 10 weeks ago, finally.
So force people to not watch television by the threat of violence. Maybe. That's progressive? I mean, I guess you're right. Progressives embrace the state, right? Progressives love the state.
Like you just asked me, how true is the story off a YouTube video? How true is the story off of Al Jazeera? Is that propaganda? They put out stories, to make us think, oh my gosh, they're so bad, they destroyed satellites.
Okay, what about Cuba cracking down on satellite dishes? Do you think that's BS too? How about the Islamic State? Because the Islamic State has... do you just believe nothing at all?
ISIS? You talking about ISIS?
Yes, that's what the Islamic State is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, well, ISIS is developed in 2012 by the American...
Yeah, we don't need a history lesson on what ISIS is.
Well, that's
how
that's
many different stories about regimes destroying satellite dishes do I have to show you before you'll believe one of them?
I don't know if they did or not.
You believe the woman on the Josh Tolley show.
Right. This is where the problem comes in, is that when you decide that you're going to believe, some random lady on, that's interviewed on a great show, Josh Tolley show. I've been on the show. I've been interviewed on his show. But it's just a person that was on his show. I've been interviewed on his show. Why is not everything I say completely accurate?
Thanks for the call tonight, Rob. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. I mean, Al Jazeera is a respected news organization globally. This is an organization that does, they're up on the level with RT as far as, doing good news reporting on...
They're government funded, so I'm going to be careful about what Al Jazeera says about, it's not out of Qatar, is it? I can't remember what country it is that basically funds it, but UAE, I'm not entirely sure. Either way, I'm not going to look at those stories that they do on their government, But I am going to look at the other stories they do on other ones, the BBC, CBC. There are Canadian Broadcasting, whatever C stands for them, channel. All these things, they're government funded, not that uncommon, but they do good news work.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of different citations NPR. Here for this particular story about the satellite dishes being destroyed. And there's even a picture of a bulldozer bulldozing what appear to be hundreds and hundreds of satellite dishes. So if this is all the work of some, you know, brilliant propagandist genius, then kudos to that person, because they managed to get a fake news story picked up by dozens of websites. So I buy it. Because it's not the first time we've heard about repressive regimes around the world doing this sort of thing. It was years ago we talked about a story in Cuba where people were trying to ferret away and hide satellite dishes so they didn't get caught by the authorities who would raid their homes over it. Is that another fake story? More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free here. Bring up anything you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and Skype username is lrn.fm. With you tonight, you've got Ian.
And Mark.
So, Mark, before we get back into the phone calls, you found a comment on our Facebook page.
It's not a comment on the page. This is
a message,
sent
to our Facebook page from a pilot.
Well, he's a drone pilot.
A drone pilot.
Yeah. Okay. You know, so that's a bit different. His name's Scott, and he says, FYI, there's never been an incident of a recreational UAV drone damaging a plane. If one hit any part of a plane, it'd be either shredded by the engine or simple disintegration impact. There isn't enough mass to hurt a commercial plane or even a typical private or hobbyist plane.
Because our caller earlier was speculating that a drone could take down an airliner.
Well, I think that the caller earlier may be correct that you could build a drone that would be that could take down an airliner. I mean, if your goal is to take down an airliner,
well,
then
ways
all
to do
the
that.
FAA yeah. licenses in the world right. aren't going to stop you from doing
but
it.
But he's saying the average drone not going
right.
to be a problem.
I mean, I don't think that I would suspect that the little, you know, the little thing that I've got at home that has a little camera on it or whatever yeah. isn't going to be, you know, sufficient to take down an airplane. But I'm not going to try to get it anywhere near an airplane anyway.
No doubt. Was there more to what he had to say?
That's it. It's just ridiculous. And he says he's a UAV pilot with a commercial license, by the way.
Our toll-free number tonight, if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, and was digging around a little bit further, because it is important to question your sources. I do agree, at the very least, that far, to some extent, with what our caller said in the last segment, although he wasn't questioning some of his sources. But it is important to do that, so I dug a little further. And turns out the photograph that Al Jazeera used in the story about Iran destroying 100,000 satellite dishes and receivers, the photograph of the caterpillar or bulldozer thing or whatever this piece of equipment is, just destroying all kinds of dishes, didn't actually even come from Al Jazeera. They were using that photo. It's an AFP photo. That's the Agence France-Presse. So you've got multiple news agencies reporting on this particular story. You've got quotes from the General Mohammad Reza Naghdi, the head of the Iran Basij militia. There's pictures. You know, there's plenty of evidence that this story actually happened.
If you want to question a story, all you have to do is question a story, right?
Yeah.
Like, if a story's not good enough is all to besmirch it, all you have to do is say, nope. Right? Like, there's everything under the sun. I thought I'd heard it all until a few months ago the flat earthers began calling in here on Free Talk Live. I mean, people who literally believe, or at least they claim
to believe, yeah,
that the earth is flat. Now, I couldn't get them to say that the moon was flat, or that Mars was flat, or Jupiter was flat, or the sun was flat. None of those things were things that I could get out of them, but whatever, the earth was flat. And I what are you going to do when you believe, when there's people out there that believe that that we're ruled by shape-shifting alien lizards and we live on a flat earth?
You just say, thanks for the call.
That's all you can do. Free Talk Live is open to every form of lunatic.
It's true. Let's continue with your calls and thoughts. Mark in Indianapolis, you're on Free Talk Live, listening to WIBC on FM. Hey, Mark.
Hey, yeah, thanks for letting me through.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned earlier Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
You mentioned that, you thought it was a respectable organization, journalistically speaking.
I'm
just wondering, is there an equivalent to that in the United States? Is it like the Associated Press, or is it like a single entity such as the Washington Post or even the Indianapolis Star?
I say if they're in the United States, they're automatically questionable as far as their coverage of U.S. goings-on. So I always look to groups like Al Jazeera or RT to do coverage on the United States because they are more independent.
Or BBC or Daily Mail. There's a whole variety of CBC. Many of them are great resources.
The Intercept is a good internet-based one as well.
They had
Glenn
a problem
Greenwald.
Recently, yeah.
What was their problem recently?
They didn't properly protect a source.
Oh. Well, regardless, they do some really great coverage of what goes on in the United States.
Sure.
Yeah, I look to the outside of the United States to find the best, in my opinion, the best coverage of what's going on within the United States. And the reason for that is because a lot of U.S. journalists are kind of, they feel like they owe some sort of debt of gratitude to the government for allowing them into news conferences and, you know, things like that. And so they don't go as hard against them as they could. They kind of take it easy in a lot of ways, and I don't much appreciate that.
Okay, so Al Jazeera is a reasonable source for getting information on what's happening outside of the United States.
I think it's a fine source. I mean, I wouldn't call it my only source
I would
by
say,
any stretch.
Right, yeah. I would say that they're not going to be good when it comes to covering Qatar, just like Russia today is not going to be very good when it comes to covering Russia. But outside of those countries, their coverage tends to be pretty independent and worth looking at.
I would say the closest thing to Al Jazeera in the United States is NPR, because NPR is publicly funded, at least by about 10% or whatever.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean NPR is going to be doing good reporting on the government. They love the government
I don't trust NPR on government reporting in the United States any more than I trust Al Jazeera on Qatar reporting.
There you go, Mark. Anything else on your mind tonight?
That's fair enough. Nope, that'll be good.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. And interestingly, Al Jazeera and RT are two of the channels that you frequently will find on free-to-air satellite, which is what we were talking about earlier with the LRN.FM satellite channel fundraiser over at Patreon, which you can access by going to fund.lrn.fm. They've kind of got a similar model of let's put our channel in as many places as we possibly can for people to see and hear.
If you want to know I don't trust a particular news agency to report on, I want to know who they salute. When they start saluting, that's who I don't pay attention to. So if it's an American news agency, I'm going to be much more skeptical of their reporting on, U.S. government going on.
We got Brett. He's in Tampa Bay, Florida, listening online. Hello, Brett.
Yeah, so, I didn't call about Al Jazeera, but here's the thing with Al Jazeera. Is a couple of years ago, they were sold, and one of the majority owners in it is Al Gore. So you can trust them as much as you want about being a credible source as U.S. News is concerned, but as far as I'm concerned with Al Gore, it's all propaganda. So, you know, live and let learn. So do what you want to do.
You think it's all propaganda.
However, you know, use other sources to get your information.
Yeah, I agree that other sources should be used, but when they're reporting on, the Cameroon fighting going on, for instance, I don't know if Al Gore has a dog in that particular fight. When you've got, they did a half an hour long documentary about the Anglophones versus the Francophones in Cameroon. It's a ongoing strife that those people are encountering down there, and their reporting seemed really, really good.
Yeah, and some of it can be. But however, you know, if Al Gore is involved and there's other shady partners involved with the sale of the company, which happened a couple of years ago, you know, just double check with other sources.
Always
your research as far as Al Jazeera.
Always
concerned.
Good advice.
But the with the FAA, I can assure you as a drone pilot that you do need to register your drone. And I've done it myself. You can register 3 drones, blah, blah, blah. You have to do it.
So wait, what's this about this being overturned? I thought, Mark, you said that was overturned. Has that not been overturned?
That's what I read in the last 2 weeks.
Not as far as I know. I mean, the FAA didn't send me an email.
Well, of course not.
I get emails, once every couple months regarding my new regulations that I got to deal with as far as as piloting my drone, so I haven't gotten anything saying, oh, everything we sent you is hogwash.
The story here from ArsTechnica.com, which has always been a relatively good news source for technical news. Headline, court ruling nullifies U.S. requirement that hobbyists register drones.
Are you a professional or a hobbyist?
Yeah, I'm a hobbyist.
Okay.
Once the FAA can confirm that for me, as far as on their own website and or whatever else, then you know, I'm not worried about it. However, you know, my drones are legal according to their previous you know, statutes. If
I prefer
they have
illegal
been overturned,
drones,
I mean, yeah. I'm still illegal to fly. So, I mean, it is what it is. But as far as the FAA and, you know, the guys that fly the planes, what is this? The operators?
Pilots?
No.
Air traffic controllers? Is that what you want to talk about?
Okay. Yes. The main reason behind this is because our air traffic control system is, you know, from the 70s.
Yeah.
We still use radar land-based systems to control our planes, which is okay. However, you know, 90% of the world is now using updated technology, which is GPS and everything.
Which, of course,
else.
So the government always is stuck in the past as far as technology is concerned. We're out of time. Brett, thanks for your call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. In fact, I remember an old John Stossel thing. It's like 10, 15 years old at this point, but it was still poignant at the time, where he showed air traffic control and, you know, the technology they could be using, like computers, but no, they're like passing little notes around on rails in the air traffic control.
Clothespins on lines.
Yeah, that's literally what it was. We'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, freetalklive.com. Have a great weekend.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.